Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Louis de Franchi, after his encounter with the Gadici, returns to his mother's home, a man broken in body and spirit, with the great wheels of the lash across his back and the torture of Emilia's deception in his mind. Louis's life slowly begins to ebb away. In his deliriums, he constantly calls for Emilia, and eventually the doctor tells Madame de Franchi that unless Emilia Latouche is brought to his bedside, the boy will die. Madame conveys the fact to his twin brother Lucien and to Pierre Godet.
That is the truth, Monsieur Godet. If the boy cannot see Emile, however, by his bedside, he will surely die, so the doctor says.
This is frightful.
Pierre, is it? Could it be possible?
For Emile to come to Corsica? But don't you understand that she eloped with some captain? They went to England.
Yes, but perhaps they're back in Paris now.
Oh, even so, I hardly think... Well, you see, it's such a difficult position.
But she must have some regard for my boy, some spark of tenderness, romance, even love. After all, she was betrothed to him.
Yes, madame. But a betrothal in Paris is not a betrothal in Corsica. In Corsica, two people get married because they love each other. In Paris, sometimes it's the families who marry the young ones. Sometimes it's the young ones who marry for betterment, for gain, for money, objectives which are not the spiritual aims of the marriage service.
And you think she would refuse to come?
It's doubtful. On the other hand, madame, I suppose one could try.
I will come with you. I will go down on my bended knees to her if necessary.
I don't know that she'd listen to you, Lucien. After all, you're a stranger.
And you?
Oh, I'm little better, madame. Just a friend of Louis, whom she met frequently, that's all. Still, it's worth trying, I suppose. It might mean, though, that we shall have to travel to England.
To the end of the earth, if necessary, to save my brother's life.
Very well, then, Lucien. It's settled. We'll go to Paris. We'll interview her parents and find out where Emilie is. And then we seek Emilie out.
Paul! Paul!
What does it matter, my little butterfly? Your wings flutter very excitedly today.
Paul has come. Look, a letter from Mama.
A letter? Really?
Oh, Paul, I can hardly believe the lines as I read them.
What does she say?
The unbelievable, the incredible, the unpredictable has happened. I've been forgiven.
Forgiven?
Yes, and you too. Oh, Paul, my sweet, they approve of you.
In spite of my reputation?
I wrote a very glowing letter about you, Paul. The six shifts, the way you've been received here in London society, the wonderful time I'm having. It's impressed both Mama and Papa. Here, read the letter for yourself.
You know, you're an artful minx. You know the direct way to the heart, don't you? The way to get around anybody.
Well, of course, I wrote the letter to Mama. She has been the tenderest heart all the time. This is a result. Oh, Paul, it means that we shall go back to Paris. Myself and my husband.
Whatever else you are, Emilia, you're always the true woman.
Oh, why do you say that?
The womanly instinct, my dear, is always to exhibit what has been caught on the line.
I hope you are caught, Paul. No struggling to get away. No jumping off the hook.
No struggling, my pet. You see, I'm rather fond of the bait.
Meanwhile, Lucien de Franchi, for the first time in his life, set sail for France with Pierre Godet. It was an uneventful journey, except for the fact that the sea was as smooth as glass with not a breath of air. A hot summer sun with a milky haze on the horizon. When the coast of France loomed through this haze, Lucien viewed it with mixed feelings. France, to him, through the years with constant repetition, with constant tales of extraordinary doings in that country, had assumed a rather mythical quality. And it rather surprised him to find that the docks of Toulon and the hurrying and scurrying and noise of the unloading had very much the same matter-of-factness here as it had at the docks in his own Ajaccio. The journey from Toulon to Paris was a surprise, since now Lucien travelled through country which was completely different to his native Corsica. First slums, incredible in their craziness, then in the country, ordered farms and undulated hills, and a sense of well-ordered peace and serenity everywhere. And finally, Paris in the distance, overhung with the smoke and dust of thousands of chimneys. Paris with its countless spires, its boulevards studded with green trees, and its snow-white houses and equally dark, dirty ones. The insistent bumping of the coach and the clatter of the wheels on the cobble stones. Lucien, dumbfounded, spoke not at all, nor did his companion encourage conversation. Finally, the coach pulled up with a great bump and a screeching of the handbrake in front of Monsieur Godet's apartment.
Well, this is where I live. I said this is where I live, Lucien.
Oh.
Your thoughts were miles away.
Oh, no, not really. I was just trying to reconcile this Paris with, well, with the one I dreamed about.
Well, let's dream inside. I'm sick of this coach.
All right, coachman, you can come back at 4. This way, Lucien.
This is considered rather an elegant quarter of Paris.
Elegant? When you're hemmed in with bricks and mortar, with cobblestones and windows looking at you from every direction?
You don't like it.
Well, it's not what I thought it would be.
Oh, just a moment. I have to find my key now. I dismissed my manservant for a month while I went away on my holiday. A strange kind of holiday it's been. Well, welcome to my home, Lucien.
Thank you, Pierre. Well, I might not admire the outside, but this is elegant.
You like it?
One can tell you're a man of books now. Two walls of the room practically covered with them.
Books are very wonderful things, Lucien. They can reveal for you lives that are gone, civilizations that have crumbled in the dust, that are not even a memory until they vibrate and come to life again and reincarnate in the pages of a book. Tired?
Oh, no.
Well, I am. What's more, a drink will be very helpful. Can I pour one for you?
Oh, thank you, Pierre.
Oh, Lucien, you're still in a daze. Paris has been too much for you, my boy.
Oh, Pierre, it's so vast, so man-made, and so, well, so full of smells.
Lucien, so you're up at last.
Oh, I must have fallen into a stupor.
You slept heavily, that's all. I didn't like to come in and disturb you.
Oh, it's just that, well, you drew the curtains, and I'm so used to the sun rising in the mountains. My room in the mountains...
I know. Well, Lucien, while you've been abed and asleep, I've been out. I've been to see the Latouches.
Emily's parents?
Yes. And here's a most extraordinary coincidence. The Latouches heard from their daughter 2 days ago. She returns to Paris today.
Today?
Yes. And Lucien, I dare not think, I dare not hope. And yet it seems as though the gods might be planning this for us. I had visions of us having to go off to England in search of Amélie. Instead, she comes to Paris almost at the same time that we arrive.
You think she will listen?
Well, I told Madame Latouche my story. She was very touched. She feels that Amélie, providing that she's accompanied by her father as chaperone, will go across to Corsica, and that she'll help your brother.
Look, Annette, look at this. Oh, isn't it lovely? I wore this at a court reception. Everybody looked.
What a glorious gown.
And the pearls on the shoulder. Those are real pearls, sewn into the gown.
Oh, Emily. Oh, you've always been so lucky all your life. From when you were a tiny girl. If only I had 100th part of your luck.
If you say to yourself that never can anything go wrong in it, nothing ever will go wrong. You remember when I left here, how black things looked in Paris? An elopement for me, Papa and Ma all alone facing the scandal, the thought of their anger, complications with Louis.
And yet you come back and you're welcome with open arms.
Well, after all, I have security. I have everything I want.
Oh, darling, wait till you see the pièce de résistance, my ermine cloak.
Ermine? It drapes to the floor like a train in the most glorious collar. Wait, just wait. Yvette hung it for me only this morning, here in this cupboard. If you are very nice to me, I shall allow you to try it on and look at yourself in the mirror.
Oh, Emily.
Wait till I drape it around me.
Oh, Emily.
Isn't that worth getting married for? Isn't that worth risking scandal and everything else?
Oh, it's beautiful. Please, can I try it on?
I knew you'd say that. Come in.
Yes, Yvette, what is it?
Madame Valdez, I'm coming to see you.
Who?
Monsieur Pierre Godet.
Monsieur Godet? Tell him I can't see him.
In that case, I should have to come in and see you, Madame Chateaurinot.
Oh, Monsieur Godet, it is not that I didn't want to see you, but I'm busy. I...
You look devastating. What a magnificent coat.
You can go, Yvette. Yes, my husband bought it in England.
Your husband? Oh, quite. Well, I came to see you about...
Monsieur Godet, I hope you've not come to embarrass me. There are certain painful subjects of which I would rather not speak. The episode just before my marriage, I prefer not to talk about.
I must apologize, madame, for that is just why I have come. It's a very urgent matter.
If you have come from Louis with any message, I don't want to hear them.
I've not come with messages, but I've come from Louis' bedside. He's dangerously ill.
Ill?
Yes, madame. Dying.
Dying?
But it's in your power to save him.
In my power? Now then, Monsieur Godet, if you think this is the time to joke...
I'm not joking. Louis in his delirium calls for you constantly, day and night. The doctor tells us that only you can save his life. I've come here to beg of you to come with me to Corsica and to stay by Louis' bedside for just a little while until he recovers his strength. Madame, his life is in your hands.
The beautiful Amélie looked a little ridiculous after this announcement in her magnificent trappings of fur. Will she consent to travel to Corsica and thus save Louis' life? If so, will it complicate matters with her husband? As this powerful story moves on towards its thrilling finish, this turn of events proves to be a vital one in the lives of Amélie and of the Corsican brothers.